This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Books Uncovered, an exciting conversation about books and literary events, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bella.
Over the next half hour, we'll dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library. Hello, and welcome to another show.
I'm Holly. I'm Bella.
Today, I'm really excited about what we're going to be talking about, and it has re-sparked an old interest of mine in storytelling, which, we're talking about communing with nature.
Mm, very fun.
Yeah.
Always love books about this.
Yeah, and it's quite like a vast, I guess you can think that it's like eco-poetry as well, kind of falls into that.
Find like climate fiction. An emerging genre as our climate disintegrates is also about that, and it's not always like doom and gloom. I think a lot of it contains a glimmer of hope about,
yeah, like a rekindling with nature instead of just living in the city and being detached from it.
There's
a lot of hope within it, but yeah, it is also kind of that like apocalyptic thing, which I know one of the books that I'm talking about, sort of The Guardian, was suggesting that it was kind of a nod towards that, which was interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, one of the books I'm talking about definitely is about climate change. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, which one do you want to
I won't start with that one, though, so that could be a surprise for later. The first book I'm talking about is called Rapture by Emily Maguire. So Emily Maguire is an Australian author, and this is her seventh novel, I believe, and the first one I've read by her, but I think it won't be the last. I loved her writing style. Yeah, and I've heard this book is quite a departure from her other, what she's written about before. So this is historical fiction, which draws inspiration from the life of Pope Joan, who was the woman who, according to legend, disguised herself as a man and served as the Pope for 2 years during the Middle Ages. So I surprisingly hadn't ever heard about Pope Joan, despite it being very like relevant to my interests.
So this is based on real?
Well, not sure. She's kind of a legend, so might be real. Might just be something that's made up, but yes, the female pope. I don't want to say anything about the legend because I don't want to give away the end of the book, which is really good. So Rapture follows the motherless child of an English priest who lives in 9th century Mainz, Agnes, who is a wild and brilliant girl with a deep and visceral love of God. And at 18, to avoid a future as a wife or nun, Agnes enlists the help of a lovesick Benedictine monk to disguise herself as a man and devote her life to the study she has denied as a woman. You really see her pushing against the really strict rules for women during this time. She sees a few women dying in childbirth, and like, this is a very visceral, horrible passages about that in the novel. And so by the time she reaches adolescence, she is adamant she never wants to become a wife or mother. There's a really good passage where she says, "It is said a boy can avoid war by lopping off a finger or toe. What part of me, Agnes wonders, might I sever to be freed from the bloody service required of girls?" Which I really liked. So she describes herself as a man. But what I really loved about the book was that even as she succeeds in these strict religious settings as John, the Englishman, is who she becomes, she still finds herself fighting emotions like pride, ambition, lust, and love. At her core, she's still like a woman with a woman's body. So she's just as often driven by her body's impulses as by her love of God. It's quite a horny book. lots of repression and guilt and sex.
Cool.
So the way she communes with nature is, so Agnes's connection with nature is when she first feels the presence of God and where she really feels her faith being crystallized and made flesh. I'll just read a really good brief paragraph just to sort of illustrate how this book, it does actually fit the theme. So there's one, "For hours at a time, she lies still enough that the forest forgets to be weary, and she is allowed to see the gold splotched lizards the size of her thumb that crawl out from beneath fallen bark. She comes to know the precise sound of missile thrush tapping their beaks, the air rippled by a wagtail bobbing, the scent of earth freshly turned by worms on the move. She lies still and she talks with God. It is not prayer. That is a ritual performed at home on her knees or in a church. Its object distant and disinterested. In the forest, God is as close and real as the bark and the leaves. He moves through her with every breath of loamy air. So, yeah, I really like that. Yeah. I love books about women being feral in nature and feeling God. This book reminded me a lot of Hild by Nicola Griffith, which I've talked about before. I think set in the same time period, listen to the episode. I can't remember which one it is, but I love that book. And it also reminded me a lot of Holly's book that you were going to talk about.
Because you've also read it before. I'm going to talk about Lauren Groff, Vaster Wilds, which was published in 2023. I have read her other book, Matrix, which funnily enough, I thought you had recommended it to me.
But I was like, you recommended it to me when we used to work together.
Which was a really good book. Also a sort of historical fiction book like this one, Vaster Wilds. So I'll just talk a bit about Lauren Groff. She's an American novelist and she's written 5 novels and 2 short story collections. Fates and the Furies, Bella's talked about on another episode of ours, which sounds really cool.
And I completely forgot that I'd even read it. I was like, definitely talked about it. Then I looked at the synopsis. I was like, oh, no, I have read that.
Vaster Wilds follows the story of a young servant's girl who is escaping from a colonial settlement during the starving time of 1609 in the New World, which, you know, America. It sort of starts off with her running away from the settlement into like the dark night, and everything's covered in snow, and just the descriptions of the woods, you know, her entering into them is terrifying. The whole book is so rich in imagery that I sometimes had like a physical reaction to the descriptions when she, you know, discovers food or shelter and how she engages with nature in that way, is just so brave, and the resilience of the young girl is incredible. Like, you know, you can imagine she's sort of eating whatever she can get her hands on, because by the time she's running away from the settlement, she hasn't eaten in 4 days. Mm. It's a story of survival, but it's been described by some as it's Cormac McCarthy for girls, which is, they're like,
don't love that.
It's like, just because it's a female character. I guess as the book goes on, she becomes kind of more and more feral. She's following a river and she sort of evolves into something quite wild, but also at the heart of it is, she's unavoidably turning into an adult. She's 16, which you don't find out till like later on. I guess you don't know how young she is. But she also, you know, comes to this realization that her childhood's completely over after this experience, because it's horrendous. I had written a quote here, but I think I've lost it. But it was about, you know, when she's in nature, how scared she's of, like, she's sort of scared of, like, these mystical beasts that maybe don't exist, but more so she's scared of men. That's sort of a real undercurrent, like, running through it, and, like, her mistreatment of when she was a servant girl. So she was a servant to quite a well-off British family, and sort of mistreated and treated like their pet, and was even named after their monkey.
I forgot that.
Really sort of objectified, but also very intelligent, because it says how she like picked up Latin and things like this. At this book, it kind of reminded me of this genre called neo-paganism, which is like, I think the late Victorians were writing a lot of novels where nature was at its core, and the characters have these sort of epiphanies in nature where they find God in nature, you know, and so it's not having God as a, you know, in the image of man, but it's within nature. And yeah, one of those books is A Room with a View by E.M. Forster, which was written in 1908. And it's, I'm sure people who are listening have read it before. It's about a young woman restrained in the culture of the Edwardian era of England. And she goes to Italy and on holiday. But there's like these moments where the characters are swimming naked in the wild. And actually the neo-pagan writers of that time were famous for swimming naked, getting out of London and, yeah, jumping into nature naked. That was sort of their big thing. But he also wrote, Ian Forster also wrote a book called A Story of Panic, which is about these British tourists in Italy where the wind picks up and they just sort of get really spooked by nature, which I feel like we can really relate to here in New Zealand, because the forest, or as we more likely call it, the bush, has quite a presence.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the late Victorians were sort of writing lots of stories that featured Pan, Pandemodium, and, you know, he's half, or they, maybe there are they, half goat, half human, and very highly sexed, and, yeah, all about the chaos of nature, which this book by Lauren Groff, Vasta Wilds, I'd say really encapsulates so well. Yeah, I think it's probably the most exciting thing I've read in a really long time.
Very high praise.
Yeah.
It's such a good book.
Yeah, it is, hey? She's such a clever writer. Like, The Matrix, her earlier book, was good. I guess she wrote that 8 years before this one. But, yeah, this one is, I think it just really taps into something. And, you know, usually I think if someone was saying that it was full of all these descriptive words, like, you know, describing eating this or that, you know, because it's really visceral. Like, it's
the perfect word for it. It's such a visceral book. It's also really, like, gross. I thought it was gross. A good word for it as well. Like, it never put me off. It was made it richer somehow.
Yeah, like when she's eating something and you're like, well, that would probably upset your stomach. And, oh, yes, it has. It's just, yeah, the basis of survival. And she's such an interesting character. Oh, and also it might have been, oh, yeah, this is a quote from The Guardian. There's a rumour that Vasta Wilds is the first in a planned trilogy about the end of Empire. But in invoking the elemental story, the girl, the forest, Groff's novel also invites wandering. There's an Anthropocene parable of stewardship here, a pandemic era fable of contagion, and a tale of ordinary female terror. The monsters the girl fears in the shadows aren't raw-toothed creatures, but men. Even a good man was more deadly than the worst of bears. So, yeah, definitely recommend it.
Yeah. Oh, that was good. Yeah, I love that book. Oh, I can't recommend it enough. I realised I didn't really give a review for Rapture. I just kind of talked about what happened. So I would just say it's an amazing book. It was a really easy read, despite the heavy themes,
yeah,
I think, and enjoyable. I like went through it in like a night.
For a minute, I thought you were going to give it a number. You know, I accidentally did that in our last show and I was like, I'm not going to start giving ratings with numbers.
5 stars out of 5. I did actually give it there on Goodreads. But
oh, well. Oh, do you do reviews on Goodreads?
I give, sometimes if I really hate something, I'll write a review.
Okay.
I'm more of a hateful writing reviewer.
I think most people are, right? It's like you're never going to review something if you're like, that was amazing, unless it's like your friend's cafe or something.
Yeah. I do like star ratings because, as I've just illustrated by completely forgetting that I read Fates and Furies, I have a terrible memory, so I kind of have to remember.
I think you just read a lot, Bella, so it's understandable.
I do read a lot, yeah. But I have enjoyed the show that it makes me really remember books because I get to dissect them.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, The Vasta Wilds is such a good book. I'm excited to hear that it's a part of a possible trilogy.
But now I know, because I'm like 10 pages from the end, and I'm like, okay, this isn't going to be wrapped up, is it? Maybe. I don't know.
I won't say.
So what was the other book that you've bought in today?
This is kind of a different book. It is very nature-based, but not so much about, I guess, God and nature and being feral in a woman. But it is by a woman. It's called Wild Dark Shore by Charlotte McConaghy, who is also an Australian author. I've been reading a lot of Australian authors recently, and God, they're so good. So Charlotte McConaghy, this is her third novel. She's also written Once Were Wolves and Migrations, which were two both really incredibly successful and, by all accounts, wonderful novels. I haven't read either of them yet, but I really want to after this. And they all kind of seem to be similar themes of climate and grief. Like I think they all deal with climate change in some way, and like how that affects us and our nature, our relationships with nature. So Migrations, which was her last novel, follows a woman who's following the last Arctic tern migration, and she's really lost in her sorrow and grief about lots of things, but especially about the loss of nature and wildlife in the world. You come to see that pretty much everything has gone extinct. So yeah, I am really excited to read that one. But Wild Duck Shore apparently has taken these themes to new heights, and it really asks the question of what it takes to survive climate change, but also what kind of survival is worth having in the face of our looming climate despair. So this is Wild Duck Shore. I loved it. It was an amazing read. It's a thriller, literary thriller, mystery. I was listening to an interview, and McConaghy herself describes this book as a little bit of gothic romantic mystery that explores the interconnectedness of all living things. So, yeah, that's kind of sums it up quite well. So we follow, the book is set on Shearwater Island, which is a fictional island, kind of set on, based on Macquarie Island, which is near Australia. But it's a tiny remote island down near Antarctica. The island is home to a research facility that holds a very important seed vault. However, the island is slowly being swallowed up by the rising ocean. When we begin the story, the scientists at the research facility have all gone, and only the Salt family remain as the caretakers of the island. So it's Dominic Salt and his three children, and they are responsible for sort of packing up the seed vault and picking which seeds they're going to take. So you're following them doing that. And the mystery begins when a woman is washed up on the shore who's near death. And that's the opening scene. So, yeah.
Curious.
I found the isolated setting kind of made it like a locked room sort of mystery, which I always enjoy. Like, and no one really trusts each other, but it's sort of learning what, yeah.
Oh, cool.
It's great.
Even that, so how old are the children in it?
They're older, so there's, I can't remember, one's 17. So they're in their teens.
Yeah.
And everyone's kind of got their own secrets going on, and it's, the story is told from different perspectives and across different timelines, which sounds really confusing, but you never really find, I didn't find it confusing. It's, yeah.
Cool.
When easy was to this, follow.
When was it?
This was just published, released at the beginning of the month.
Ah.
So yeah, is it, her book, her writing is really atmospheric, and the island is like its own character as well within the story. Like the way she writes nature is amazing. Like it's really vivid and lush, I guess is the word. Like writing about the island itself and then the animals that live on it. So it's like a place where lots of like species come to breed and have their children, their babies. So
yeah,
there is that really close communing with nature of this family who are the only people on this island that is like filled with creatures.
Yeah, okay. They're the only humans there.
Yeah. And like, you know, it feels like the end of the world. It kind of is.
Is it like, it's making me think of, but I don't know it so well, the family Robertson, you know, is it Swiss family Robertsons? And they're like, it's like an old school.
I think, I know the one you mean, but I.
Animals.
Yes. I think probably.
Robert Stevenson?
A lot darker than that one, but
yeah, that one's like really like, yay, we're just having a great time in the middle of nowhere.
But yeah, I guess there's a family on an island that are like looking after seeds and, yeah, living amongst these wild creatures.
Cool. Cool.
But highly recommend you get your hands on it. It's a really amazing read.
It's actually making me think of there's a Doris Lessing book. Mm. I think it's Doris Lessing. No, it's not Doris Lessing. But she also sort of writes to nature like this as well.
Mm.
She's got this book, Briefing for a Descent into Hell, which I picked up because of the title.
That's a great title.
But the book I'm thinking about, it's a sci-fi person and they go to an island. The island of Dr. Moreau, is it?
Oh, that's like quite a classic one, yeah. Isn't it?
And they go to this island and the animals are, there's like experiments going on where the animals and humans are being merged.
I need to read that one, actually. I've only kind of absorbed it through other texts that are like
it's very good. Yeah. I read it when I was in transit sometime. It was a really good book to take on holiday. Mm, yeah.
Okay. I'll source it.
Who's the author again? I can't remember. It's not H.G. Wells, no.
Oh, I can't remember. The only one I have in my head is one it's based on that, but it's called The Daughter of Dr. Moreau. It's by Sylvia Marina Garcia.
Cool.
Which I also haven't read. But
I mean, that's the thing. It's like so good to go back to the classics. What I forgot to mention before about the neo-pagans was that Kenneth Graham's The Wind and the Willows also features Pan. So it's, really interesting. Mm. Like it was very much, and that's like 1908. So it was very much in that era.
Same time.
That people were looking to nature a bit more and to Pan. So I didn't really like do a second book, but I did want to just make mention of this really awesome book called Strangers, Essays on Human and Non-Human, which is by Dr. Rebecca Tomas. She's a British person who's a poet and nonfiction writer and critic. And it's published by this awesome publishing house in the UK called Keener Books, and there's so much good stuff on that. Like if you're into essay writings and hybrid text, then I can't recommend them enough. But Strangers is, I'm just going to read a little thing, is explores where the human and non-human meet and why this delicate connection just might be the most important relationship of our times. From On Watermelon to On Grief, Tomas' essays are exhilarating to read and they're radical, an original exploration of the links between the environmental, the political, the folkloric, and the historical. From Thinking Stones to Fair Grounds, from Colliding Planets to Transformative Cockroaches, Tamar's lyrical perspective takes the reader on a journey between body, land, and spirit, exploring a new ecological vision for our fractured, fragile world. And it's got the seal of approval by Max Porter and Sinead Gleason on the front. If that doesn't sell you.
That sounds like exactly up my alley. It kind of reminds me a little bit of I can't say this word, the Chthonic Cycle.
Oh,
I talk about that on the radio? By Una Cruikshank, which is one of the Ockham. Shortlisted for the Ockhams.
Yes, I saw that,
Yeah, he says about similar things.
I held that in my hand the other day at the UBS and was like, am I getting it right now? But yeah, I should. I don't have Stranger's Essay at the Athenaeum Library, who brings you this beautiful episode and all episodes of Books Uncovered. But yeah, we do have a lot of the new books in, which we always buy from the UBS.
Which is where I work now, so come visit me.
Yeah, so
I'll
excited.
Be there every day.
Yeah.
After Easter. Well, not every day. That'll be quite sad, but I have the weekends off, but every other day.
Awesome. Such a great place to be working.
Yes.
And you'll be privy to everything that's coming in.
I'm excited to get my grubby little mitts on all the advanced reader copies that they have. I had a look at the shelf the other day. I was like, well, this is exciting.
Oh, and you'll be able to recommend some crime fiction for me when I come in to buy it.
Yes.
the Athenaeum, which I'm buying less of at the moment because we have such a healthy amount of crime fiction.
You do have a lot of crime fiction.
Yeah. I mostly buy fiction these days. Yeah. Good fiction.
But if you want to read through your favourite thriller mystery author's entire back catalogue, the Athenaeum is the place to go.
Yeah, actually, yeah. We have a load of it there. And we just had good news where we found out we can our lease is getting extended because there's impending work that needs to be done on the building. So, yeah, we're really pleased about that. We'll be there definitely until 2027.
Yay.
Yay. Anyway, I guess that's us for the week.
Yeah.
Cool.
We'll see you next time.
Have a good weekend.
Kaki te. Books Uncovered. Exciting conversations about books and literary events. Brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
Join us, Holly and Bella, every second Saturday at 12 p.m. as we dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library.
That's Books Uncovered.
Saturdays at 12 on ORFM and online at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.